Philosophy and science may be different fields of study, but they have plenty to offer each other. It wasn't that long ago that we called scientists philosophers, and when you think about it, both fields are about seeking the truth. Two University of Oregon professors joined forces a while back to solve a problem that had roots in both science and biology, and no surprise, the professors come from those disciplines. Brendan Bohannon is professor of biology and environmental studies and the leader of the Bohannon Research Group at the University of Oregon. Welcome, Dr. Bohannon.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We also have with us Nikolai Morar, who is an assistant professor of philosophy and environmental studies. Welcome, Nikolai.
Thank you. A pleasure to be with you.
And they are our guests in this month's edition of our joint venture with the U of O called Curious Research Meets Radio. Brendan Bohannon, let's start with you and the work you do on the microbiome. What does the work focus upon? What part of understanding the microbiome?
Well, I'm very interested in how humans interact with the microbial world. And so that interest led me to try to understand better how we acquire the microbes associated with our bodies and some of the good things that they do for us in terms of promoting health.
We acquire them. I mean, some of them we acquire, from in the womb, don't we?
Not in the womb, but shortly after birth, we start to acquire our microbes and then continue to acquire them throughout our life.
Really? So in the womb, we're just a clean slate. There's nothing in our guts. I mean, we haven't eaten yet, obviously.
That's right, and you know, that's a very controversial area. There are some scientists who believe there may be a few microbes transferred during gestation, but that at this point, I think most microbiologists believe that we're essentially born sterile and we begin to be colonized by microbes during the birth process.
Wow. Okay, we have a lot to talk about in the second hour of the exchange today, too, from Bill Sullivan at the University of Indiana, but that different thing altogether. But so how much material, Brendan, do you put in front of the general public versus publications for other scientists to read and review?
Well, most of my work is focused on producing publications for other scientists, but I try to give 3 or 4 public talks a year, and I of course, teach a variety of students at the University of Oregon.
Is the general public getting a sense of the microbiome now? I mean, something beyond, oh, my God, what's in there?
I really believe they are. They're starting to. I can see a shift in how people who aren't scientists think about microorganisms. Before, microbes are thought of primarily as pathogens, you know, things that were trying to kill us. And now I'm seeing a shift as people realize that microbes can also provide really important benefits to our health and even help us develop, you know, as babies and children.
Benefits to our health like what?
Excuse me?
Benefits to our health like what?
Oh, for example, microbes are essential in stimulating our immune systems when we're children. And as we begin to build our a healthy and functioning immune system, they provide a number of different functions in terms of how our guts work, allowing us to digest foods we wouldn't otherwise be able to digest if we didn't have particular microbes in our guts. And that's just 2 examples of the benefits that can provide.
Okay, many more. We may hit you up for some of those too. Nikolai Morar, tell us about your work and how it came to intersect with what comes out of the Bohannon lab.
Oh, it's an interesting story. And I think in part, it sort of, it says a lot about Brendan and about the kind of mentor. He's a full professor and I'm just the junior person, and his openness to sort of talk to philosophers. So early on when I got at the University of Oregon, I remember that part of my work was focusing on the question of human nature and evolutionary theory, and especially what does it mean for us to think that we're humans, because for a very long time philosophers were thinking that there is an essence to humanity, and evolutionary theory in part calls into question that sort of understanding. And when I was presenting something to a small group, Brendan has paused for a second, and his first question was, like, do you believe that the microbiome challenges our conception of human nature and the ways in which we think about ourselves? And at that time, I was just new and open to learn more, so I didn't know, I didn't have an answer. But I continued to read more, and this is how at some point we really got together, and that's also part of the question that I'm very interested in, the human microbiome. We got together and we started our conversations and we started collaborating. So that's part. For me, definitely there are amazingly interesting questions with respect to biology, with respect to philosophy of medicine. But in part for me, there are really very interesting questions about the nature of who we are as human beings. And how do we think about ourselves once we take stock of this amazing amount of information that the human microbiome brings to our bodies.
So we should be, or perhaps certainly can, think about ourselves differently. What about what it means to be human because of the fact that we have all this stuff in us and on us?
I don't know about the should, but I think at least we should pause and not merely assume, because it's quite amazing. So for a very long time, there was the famous phrase that was sort of on all the popular media, you are 10% human being, meaning that, you know, most of our cells in our bodies are actually microbial in nature. We've realized that probably that's not really accurate in terms of numbers. Probably right now the most accurate numbers would be we are half and half. Half of our cells are human cells and half of our cells are more microbial in nature. And it's just a fact that I think anyone who tries to unravel something or at least to understand something about who we are cannot just simply sort of scrap on and move, because it's profound. It's profound. And then it's quite amazing. If the more we look to the biology, the more we realize the extent to which they are so much part of our physiology, part of our functioning, and part of potentially, this is a more controversial place, but there are probably very interesting interactions between the microbes in our guts and the ways in which our nervous system functions. So it's quite, I do believe that there is something here to be explored, and that's part of the direction that Brendan and I will probably take into the future.
So Brendan Bohannon, is this, I mean, had you thought about the whole humanness part of it, or as microbiologists, do you work by definition at a micro level and just consider, ooh, let's see what's in there?
I mean, Nikolai has really helped me see the implications for our discoveries about the microbiome for things like, you know, human nature, the concept of the individual, how we conceive of ourselves as humans, and that's an area where really he's been my mentor, and it's been fascinating. I mean, I love working with philosophers. They make me think really deeply about the work that I'm doing and more broadly about the implications of my work. And I have watched, when I've taught students about the microbiome, I've watched their senses of self change as they think of themselves as being homes to all of these different forms of life. So in that sense, I'm witnessing what Nikolai's talking about kind of in real time when I teach about the microbiome.
We are talking with Brendan Bohannon, Professor of Biology and Environmental Studies, leader of the Bohannon Research Group at the University of Oregon, and Nikolai Morar, Assistant Professor of Philosophy and Environmental Studies, also at the University of Oregon. They are our guests in this month's edition of our joint venture with the U of O, Research, Curious Research Meets Radio. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we talk about this intersection of biology and philosophy over the microbiome, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Nikolai, was there something about the terminology that was being used with the microbiome that concerned you?
Early on, the more I read about it, the more I kind of realized that there were multiple names for the human microbiome, or at least for parts of the human microbiome that were used in the scientific literature. So at some point, I got together with Brendan, and I said, how is it possible that you call the human microbiome an organ, that you called the host and the symbiont a holobiont, or that we think of the human microbiome and the human body more like an ecosystem? And I was like, those are just three different ways of looking at the world, and they're not really, really the same. So part of my fascination was to kind of realize that early on in this field, there are definitely different metaphors that are implied and deployed to try to make sense of the complexity that the human microbiome brings to our bodies. And that was the part where our research has started. In part, what Brendan and I were trying to say was, whenever you are using one of those concepts, you cannot use it without the whole baggage that the concept brings to the table. And the sort of the set of premises that the concept is predicated upon. So most of the time, if you think of the human microbiome more like an organ, you would really think that that organ is really, truly integrated in your body. And it's that process of integration, it's that function that it plays into your body that will really take the most of our attention. But if you think that the human body and the symbionts function more like an ecosystem, then there are different aspects of the human microbiome that will sort of come to light, more like the ways in which we are open, the ways in which we tend to exchange microbes, the ways in which our immunity could be a function of a community of things. And I think all those different metaphors were really present in the literature, but at the same time, we worked as hard as possible to highlight the benefits and also the shortcomings that they bring to the discussion.
So, Brendan, had you settled upon a specific term? I mean, I know that ecosystem certainly seems to work in the sense of like, okay, we have a bunch of different things living together inside of us. That's the microbiome. It sounds like an ecosystem, but it sounds like that also has the potential to confuse some people.
You're exactly right. And when Nikolai approached me, I was in the minority in my field thinking of the human microbe system as being an ecosystem. I think most of the research to date had been from this point of view of the microbiome as sort of an organ. And I started to get uncomfortable with all the different kinds of metaphors we were using in our field and starting to feel like it might be influencing the way we ask questions as scientists about the microbiome. And Nikolai helped me see just how that might be true. And also, through our work together, we uncovered a number of other metaphors that scientists are commonly using. And in exploring these metaphors, we were able to see how each of these different kinds of windows on the microbiome determines how scientists ask questions, determines how physicians kind of conceive of therapies for microbiome-related conditions. So they're not just words. They're actually quite powerful, these metaphors that we use. I wasn't completely aware of it until I had a chance to really, you know, dig deep by working with a philosopher on these questions.
There was one that Nikolai mentioned that I hadn't heard before until we got into this research, which is the holobiont. Mm-hmm. Holobiont? How do you pronounce it?
The holobiont, and this is one of the fastest growing ideas in the microbiome field, and this comes from the field of symbiosis research, so researching microbes that interact intimately with their hosts and are often transferred from parents to offspring. And this view holds that the microbiome has closely evolved with its hosts, for example, with us, over our evolution, and so that our interactions with our microbiomes are very tightly linked, you know, honed through thousands and thousands of years of evolution. And this is an hypothesis, but has come sometimes to be taken as fact. And from that has emerged a number of ideas about how the microbiome affects our health and how we might be able to manipulate the microbiome.
How tricky a subject area is this to explain?
Well, as you can imagine, it's very complex, so it can be really difficult to explain. And this is where metaphors become really important and where our choice of metaphor becomes crucial. When I tell my students, for example, that we can think of ourselves as ecosystems, there's a very vivid picture that emerges for them very quickly. And some of that is accurate, and some of that is not. I find that the key is to start with a couple of different metaphors and then explore what they might tell us about the microbiome. And out of that kind of pluralism can emerge a clearer, I think, a more accurate picture for a non-scientist of what the microbiome is and how it functions.
The microbiome and how to explain it is the discussion topic here on the Jefferson Exchange in this month's edition of Curious Research Meets Radio, our joint venture with the University of Oregon. Our professors this month, Brendan Bohannon, professor of biology and environmental studies, leader of the Bohannon Research Group at the U of O. Nikolai Marar is assistant professor of philosophy and environmental studies at the U of O. You can join us on the exchange. Questions, comments, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So in order to work together on terminology, Nikolai, you had to have, it sounds like, a bit of an immersion yourself into just what the concepts were.
Absolutely. But I think in multiple ways, I really think it cuts both ways. And this is why the fact that both of us have an appointment in environmental studies, where it's fundamentally a place for collaboration between humanists and natural scientists. So we benefited from this institutional place, and then we were also eager to learn about our own fields. Brendan got even more into philosophy, and I really ended up, you know, taking some of his classes and sitting on some of his classes and learn more from him. So it was a process of immersion, I can only say that I'm coming out of this whole process not only with a publication, which is great for, but also just with a deeper understanding of the complexity of this phenomenon.
So you published together in the June issue of the Quarterly Review of Biology, and Brendan, how long did you guys work on that?
Well, I think it was almost 3 years that we worked on this manuscript, and Nikolai used the term immersion, which was absolutely true, and it takes time to really immerse yourself in a new field, and I felt like for us to write this paper together, we really needed to be able to see through each other's eyes from the perspective of each of our disciplines, and that took much longer than I would have anticipated, but it's made for a very fruitful collaboration. I'm very excited about where our work may go into the future now that we, you know, are able to think in some ways, like as one would from each of our disciplines.
You know, it's not like being able to see through someone else's eyes comes about spontaneous. Like, and imagine there were some moments of probably weeks, months of deep discussions. And then were there a few revelatory moments, Brendan, for you when you went, oh, that's what you mean?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it was very frustrating for me as someone who felt, you know, very well trained in my own field to be a student again at the very beginning of learning another field. But there was a moment when I realized that my perspective on the microbiome, that we are ecosystems, was just another metaphor with its own weaknesses, its own baggage that it brought along with it. So that moment for me was revelatory when I was able to step outside of my own kind of conceptual box that I had drawn around myself and my own science. And that was very exciting, continues to be exciting.
So as a result of the work, do you still use the term ecosystem, or have you switched to something else?
I use it sometimes, but I use it with quotes, either when I'm writing or speaking. and I try to mention what the shortcomings are of that metaphor, the things that it misses about the microbiome, as well as the things that it captures. It has definitely influenced the way I do research. I mean, the ecosystem metaphor emphasizes the movement of organisms from place to place. And so much of my work recently has been on how microorganisms move around among humans to become members of our microbiomes. But now I'm looking beyond that to other questions that are not as obvious from this metaphor. And so, you know, breaking that box was really important for me as a scientist and for my science in particular.
That's an interesting thing, how microbes move around among humans. And again, we're not talking necessarily pathogens, but we do swap some stuff, it sounds like.
We do, and this opens up the possibility that the benefits we get from our microbes might also be able to move around, just like diseases move around. And so a number of us are starting to think about the idea that health might be transmissible in some circumstances the way disease is transmissible. And it's also led us to ask questions about the conditions under which we might share our microbes. And I recently completed a study with colleagues at the Prevention Science Institute here at University of Oregon, asking what happens to the microbiomes of children when they're adopted. And it turns out that the home you live in has a very important impact on the microbes that you have inside you, even if you're genetically unrelated.
Really? So you'll take on the microbiome, or some of it anyway, of the people around you in any circumstance, it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. So not only do we share time and ideas with each other, but we're likely sharing our microbiomes as well.
So, Nikolai, for you, what were some of the revelatory moments?
Oh, there were numerous. Like Brendan, it was fascinating to me to sort of become a student again and have the chance and the opportunity and the amazing mentorship that he has offered me to just learn more about this field. And it took us a little bit of time. I mean, it wasn't for us to really be able to sit at a table and have a conversation without constantly defining terms. And it was really important, and it took a little bit of time. But I would say part of what was key to me was not just the science behind it, but also the fact that we got at a point where both really felt the deep sense in which all those concepts are not merely defining a phenomena, but they're helping us to really explore the complexity and the kind of chimeric beings that we are in a way, and the multiple ways in which we tend to be human. And that was really sort of It was a fascinating moment, the more I came to realize and think through those questions.
So it's not quite to the English class with the semantics discussion, but I think what you're pointing out here is that how we talk about things certainly lends to our ability to understand or not.
Absolutely. I think it's one of the take-home points of our paper. The ways in which we talk about things, we call them more broadly conceptual frameworks or metaphors. Language carves out reality, or at least provides us with a window into reality. And it's really important to understand the extent to which that window kind of opens and gives us a partial view that most likely has benefits, the way we show. And in those cases, the benefits are understood therapeutically, the kinds of things that we can develop to treat diseases. But at the same time, like any kind of window, you don't see everything. You see just a very specific part of this complex reality. And it's equally important to be mindful and reminded of that.
And Brendan, as the biologist, how concerned are you that as people understand more about the microbiome or just know that it exists, they begin to roll out all sorts of products and start taking things to promote the good gut bacteria and discourage the bad gut bacteria, that sort of thing?
Oh, I'm very concerned. That's a great point to bring up, Jeff. There's an entire industry that's just ticking off now. One of the fastest growing areas of biotech that's focused on trying to take advantage of what we've learned about the microbiome to promote health. But as with any new industry, you know, there's a number of industries that are based on ideas and products that are not well vetted, that aren't based on our best scientific understanding. And the field is very new. And so at this point, there's very little we can offer definitively about how to manipulate one's microbiome to promote health. But that hasn't stopped people from marketing, you know, supplements and marketing approaches to doing exactly that. So I this is a time when the general public should be very skeptical of the claims of companies around the microbiome. The science is still very, very new.
Have your fellow biologists sort of looked up from their microscopes and said, oh, well, this is interesting what you and Nikolai worked on?
I have seen that. So initially when I talked to my colleagues that work in the human microbiome about these ideas, they initially dismissed it as, oh, it's just words we're using. It's not a big deal. I just like the idea of an organ, or I like the idea of the microbiome as a community and ecosystem. But then the more we developed our ideas and shared them with my colleagues, the more they started to see that there were implications that they were unaware of the words that they chose. So I feel like it's been very well received. So in some cases, people didn't even realize they were using three or even four metaphors in the same paragraph that describe human microbiome and how confusing that might be and how it was changing the way they were thinking about the microbiome.
Well,
so I feel like it's had a good response.
All right. It's certainly fascinating stuff to think about, not just about understanding the fact that all these other things live in us and on us, but also what that means to us as human beings. And so we get the biology and the philosophy side together here. In the person of Nikolai Marar, Assistant Professor of Philosophy and Environmental Studies at the U of O, Brendan Bohannon, Professor of Biology and Environmental Studies, leader of the Bohannon Research Group. Thank you both for joining us in Curious Research Meets Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. All right.